So Paul's affection to the Christian at Philippi is evident in the Christ-likeness in Paul's attitude when he is in prison. He never became discouraged. He never looked onto his own confinement as a negative discouragement. In his witness for the proclamation of the gospel, even though he is in prison, one of the impressive things about Jesus' ministry to his disciples in the last hours of the Lord Jesus Christ with them, with the disciples, was that despite his own need, the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was concerned to comfort and strengthen the disciples. John tells us that although our Lord was deeply troubled in John 13:21, he encouraged the disciples not to be in trouble, not to be troubled in John 14:1. Let's look at that in John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled, John says. Our Lord Jesus said through the writing of John, you believe in God, believe also in me. So in other words, even Paul, even he was in trouble, he believed in Christ, he believed in God's sovereign grace and providence, that God will use him in proclaiming the gospel, as we will see later, even when he is in prison. Like the Lord Jesus, Paul was more concerned about others than about his own comfort. He practiced what he preached according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, when he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So that should actually motivate us. We should not only be concerned about our needs, but first of all, seek the needs of others as well. Let us be sensitive on the needs, spiritual needs of others, particularly our brethren in the Lord. That's how Paul is expressing here. But more than that, he knew that God brings new blessings out of the trials and difficulties is his servant's experience. In these verses, he mentioned several ways in which this was actually happening. For instance, let us see what God's power can demonstrate to us in the change of event, like the advance of the gospel. Number one, the advance of the gospel. Now, Paul was a prisoner of the Roman authorities. From a human point of view, his freedom had been curbed, and therefore his evangelistic outreach seems to be at an end. But in fact, as he now realized, his imprisonment was part of the divine strategy to advance the gospel by bringing it to the people who otherwise would never hear it. Now, how then could the good news about Christ break into the Roman army? Well, we can see this in Acts 16, verse 22 to 34. And the Philippians knew that God did mighty things in prison through the experience of Paul. Look at Acts 16. Beginning verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and his and the Philippians proclaiming the gospel. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But the great miracle happened. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul, with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." In other words, do not try to kill yourself. We are still here. Then, in verse 29, he called for a light and ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And this is a great opportunity. Can you imagine? In that prison, God did a mighty shaking of the prison, so that the jailer, when worried, so that because the prisoners were under his care, under his charge, and he thought that he will lose his life from the Roman authority, from the Roman government, because he allowed the prisoners to go out because of this earthquake. But this opportunity was not negative, but it became positive. It became an opportunity for Paul to preach the gospel. And when the jailer asked in his confusion that he thought most of the prisoners ran away, this prisoner keeper asked with a shout, "What must I do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so they said with Paul, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." That's the great opportunity. And the Bible says, the man, the jailer, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and his household as well. He welcomed them. He gave them food to eat as a result of that. And all the families of that jailer were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that is a great encouragement, that the advance of the gospel in the unlikely place, in prison, where the word of God, where the gospel was proclaimed in the ears of the prisoner's keeper, and he was saved. And then we can also see another truth out of these events, that the glory of Christ was manifested in verse 13. Philippians verse 13, let's look at that. "So that it became evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." In other words, as a result of Paul's imprisonment, the whole palace guard had become aware and realized that he was in chain for Christ alone. Not because of what he did bad, but they knew Paul was a different person. He was a changed person. And the reason for his imprisonment was only for this reason. His only crime was his loyalty to Christ in preaching the gospel. That's the only crime he did, in preaching the gospel, in talking to people about how to be born again, how to be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. And that should actually encourage us when Paul's own words try to underline this truth in verse 13 that we just have read. That was certainly true, that Paul's reason being imprisoned was because he was preaching the gospel for Christ. It was for Christ alone that he was put to prison. He's a prisoner because of his union with Christ. At least some of these soldiers became conscious that the explanation for this, for Apostle Paul's life in prison, was actually found in someone else. Who is that someone else? Did they become conscious too while they were guarding him in defending the gospel to the Philippian jailer, that this someone else, that the Lord Jesus was in him, was with him? There is surely a vital practical lesson here. We can trust Christ's purposes even when we do not yet fully understand them, according to this morning message. You cannot understand them now, he said, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, but later you will understand my purposes. And then the third truth about these events and the opportunity of presenting the gospel in Paul's being in prison, the church was encouraged. Different barriers to opportunities for the expansion of the gospel were the security guards that guards the prison where Paul was put to prison. There is an encouragement here which Paul goes on to record in verse 14. Let us see Philippians 1, verse 14. It says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chain, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, when they saw Paul preach the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine household. And that, when they see that Paul's boldness in preaching the gospel, that even while in prison, the Philippian believers were encouraged to be bold as well in defending and proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul does not exactly explain in detail why his imprisonment had such an impact to his fellow believers, but according to that record, it became most of the brethren in the Lord having become confident by my chain. In other words, is being in prison emboldened Paul to preach the gospel because God, Christ was with him and the power of Christ through his Holy Spirit. That's why in preaching the gospel, we must not just do it by our own desire to preach the gospel. We must pray that God will empower us, will give us boldness to present Christ as the Savior of the world, that he died for our sin. God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the good news that Paul delivered to the Philippian jailers and to the other prisoners as well. The truth was that they were facing to those difficulties and are now willing to speak for Christ, whatever the consequences might be. In other words, they learned from Paul the encouragement that whatever faces Paul in the prison, that should not discourage them. If they were in his own place, as they realized the power of Christ was with him, they realized that. They also experienced the power of Christ because of his confinement, because of his chain. That make them bold. That encouraged them. They never were afraid about the consequence of preaching Christ, that they will be put to prison. They're no longer afraid of that because Christ's power was with them. And when we preach the gospel and share the gospel to other people in the power of Christ's name and the power of the Holy Spirit, we never fear anything. Okay? And lastly, it is God's logic. God's logic or God's way is very different from ours. We should realize that. We assume that the circumstances must be right if we are to be really effective Christians. That's how we think as Christians. The situation must be right first. You must wait for things to calm down because we can preach the gospel. No, but with God, God is not waiting for the circumstances to be right. He is committed to producing really effective Christians by the power of the prayer that Paul prayed for the believers in Philippi. He prayed for them. He prayed that they will be granted the knowledge of Christ's love and compassionate love and the power of Christ in preaching the gospel. So that through the experience of Paul, they see the power of the boldness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And through his example and encouragement, God produced effective Christians. That includes Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and the rest that were trained by Paul and encouraged by Paul and by Timothy. Whatever their circumstances may be, whether there's a threat of life, there's a threat of don't preach the gospel, that you will be put to prison, you will be put to court, they don't mind about that. There are lots of evangelists today or missionaries who have that threat upon their life or being put to prison. Their only crime is preaching the gospel faithfully in the power of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. But the example of Paul, does it teach us that even though in his being in chain, does that teach us, does that continually humble us, that our own Christian witness and our own circumstances, whatever they may be, should not stop us or slow us down, or should not discourage us when the situation is so negative against us? I know that's difficult to preach to the Muslim community because of the various threats, but it's only God's ways, that when we trust him, when we cry to him for help, God make things possible that seemingly in human attempt to do things, only God's ways works. And that is what he did through the example of Paul. He transformed negative events, dangerous events, being in prison, being in chain, into opportunities to preach the gospel. May that encourage us as a church. It should not actually discourage us when there are threats in our community, even from the law of the land. Let's continue to look unto the Lord Jesus and the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel of the Word of God that can transform lives, that can save lives through the death and resurrection and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this truth of the gospel be the focus of our proclamation that should draw men to God through our Lord Jesus Christ in preaching the gospel. Amen.